Welcome to the Energetic Radio Podcast. My name is Dale Sowerbottom. Each week, I'll bring you inspirational guests who will help you bring fun, energy, and purpose into your lives. Let the show begin. Welcome to episode number 332 with David Milan. Now, this is number 10 of our Super Snippet series, and we have saved Dave to the end because it's a lovely way to round out what has been a brilliant 10 weeks, highlighting and celebrating some of the most wonderful guests that I've had the privilege to have on the podcast. And they say you save the best to last. Well, I'll tell you what, David is not going to disappoint. This is a beauty. Enjoy. Next week, we will be back with regular interviews and podcasts. So enjoy this snippet that rounds out our 10 weeks of highlights.
If you have to wait to be confident, you'll never be confident.
So true.
Bottom line is you've got to do that thing. And you've got to be proficient in that thing. And then that builds the thing called confidence. And then you have to challenge that thing. So once we get to a certain level, I've got students at all different levels of this process of communicating and connecting and doing all sorts of things with social anxiety, because that's where I work, in the social anxiety field. So in this context. So there are students, I have students that couldn't look you in the eye. They would literally look down at the floor. And if they looked up at someone looking at them, they would freak out and say, oh, my God, I'm being judged, blah, blah, blah. Now that student, I can say, okay, there's a table of seven people over there. Go up and do the octopus seahorse routine, because we have routines to challenge you. Go and do that routine. And they'll go, okay. And off they go. And then they'll assess it. They'll come back. They'll tell me what happened with each person, where they believed each person was emotionally and cognitively in the process. And then they'll say what they could improve or what is working for them. And sometimes I'm thinking, wow, I don't know if I could do that myself. You know, great for master to sit back here teaching, you know, to be sitting back, just chilling out, relaxing. And then I've been challenged. I often ask my students, okay, challenge me. Give me a challenge. And I'll say, I'll go up to that person, the grumpiest, angriest looking person you've ever seen. I'll go up to them and tell them a story and convince them that avocados are intelligent. Okay, good challenge. Let's have a shot. So I'll go up and I'll do that. And 9 times out of 10, we might get there. Although if I don't, it's not a fail. There's no such thing as fail. Fail is giving up on that thing. So if I give up on that thing, technically I failed. So I have a bar, a mental health bar. And my bar is functionality, because in this nature, in this nervous system, that all behavior has meaning, right? So there's no dysfunction in the nervous system. Everything is functional to meet a need. All human beings are trying to meet their resource needs. They're physical, they're mental, they're emotional, they're financial, they're sexual and spiritual needs. So what they're trying to do is naturally, through lots of programming and lots of evolution, evolve. So we're evolving physically, mentally, and emotionally. And I work in the mental and emotional evolution, yeah? So if I'm evolving emotionally, it means I'm able to be resilient to that unpleasant feeling. That's an evolution. So what I've got to do is I've got to challenge myself to meet that evolution. Now, if I challenge myself using my conscious mind, which I'm now going to use for one moment, then I'm going to have maybe a lot of what ifs. Oh, my God, what if this happens? What if that happens? What if the other thing happens? Because this mind, this practical, logical mind, is very future orientated. So it likes to predict things. It's a wonderful predicting machine. So based on past experience, which is constructed, ironically, through how we feel mostly, it will predict an outcome. As soon as it predicts an outcome, it will activate the nervous system as if that outcome's happening now. How weird's that? So I can be lying in bed at night, wake up with a start at 2 a.m. because I had a cortisol spike and think, oh, my God, I'm going to have a bad day at work tomorrow. As soon as I have that thought, my nervous system goes, oh, my God, you're at work. And it's tomorrow. And it gives me anxiety. Now, that's not a reality because I'm in bed. Although the system is acting on this future predicting. So our conscious mind, I call the intention maker. It makes intention. So whenever we're going to communicate, I will say to a person when we start a process, what is your intention of this communication? Because if you don't know your intention, how are you going to communicate? What's your intention? And 9 times out of 10, I mean this, people go, I don't know what my intention is, just to talk. And I go, well, how's that going to work for you? So what is your intention? What do you want to get out of this communication, basically? What do you want to get out of it? Do you want that person to like you? Do you want that person to talk to you? Do you want that person to tell you their life story? Do you want to get that person to help you at Bunnings? I mean, what do you want to do? You must have an intention in communication. Then after we've got this intention, then we've got to have a way of approaching that is as safe as possible. Because most people are, well, no, not most, this is an all people thing. All people, and I will say all here, very generalized, the first priority for the human being in nature is safety. Safety first, then protection, then procreation. So that's the basic operating system of every person. As I said, I work in humans, yeah? So we've got this thing. So I know that when I walk up to them, a perfect stranger, even if they're meant to communicate with me, like in a shopping center, you know, on an aisle or at a checkout, there's still that programming running. So what have I got to do? I've got to make them feel incredibly comfortable with me. How do I do that? I've got to stand a certain way. I've got to, in a way, look a certain way. If I have a face that looks like a cat's proverbial, when I'm talking to you, their activation of their old primary code is definitely going to go off in the, I don't like this very much, although I've got to talk to you. So if I stand in a certain way, and there's certain ways to stand that are safer than others, if I front on you, if I'm front on with you, literally symmetrical, that can be a threat to some people. If I am standing slightly off to the side, asymmetrical in my body, that's actually less threatening. So I might use an asymmetrical stance. Now, the tone of voice is critical because we read tonality. So we literally, words are the last thing we make sense of, honestly. They're the last thing. So the first thing we're doing is we're looking at the body's positioning because we have this system, this proprioceptive system that tells us everywhere the body was in time and space through our whole life and what that meant. So literally, if when I was little on my old mat, someone stood over me and they were aggressive and they stood in a certain stance, then that will actually be activating even when I'm trying to communicate and regulate through my conscious mind, yeah? So I have my stance, then tonality is important because literally the tonality, if it raises or lowers, that can also be a threat. So what I want to do is I want to use a modulated tonality, or when I'm working in the field, I'll use a playful tonality. So I'll be very playful. Now, did you know that the more you move your hands, the more honest you are? It's called honest signals. You can look it up.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah, it's interesting. So you know those people who are often gesturing?
Yeah.
That is actually seen as more honest and more safe than the person who's standing more still.
Wow, there you go.
So we have these systems, and that name it to tame it. These are these little lights, yeah. So we have these systems. So if I'm gesturing, if I move, often I'll move in and out. And when I move in, I'll see if they move back because that tells me if I'm connected. Now, we've got different codes. Now, I read code and I train in code. So code is the way the nervous system reads stuff. I'm going to tell you the nervous system is encoded from the top of the head to the soles of the feet. It's the whole body. The conscious mind, which can take a holiday in Jamaica and sip pina coladas on the beach, mostly for all I care, is where I don't usually work. I work in the rest of the system. But I use the conscious mind. I'm using but. I'm not negating everything in that but. So I'll use although. I'll change my language. Although the conscious mind is critical when we want to reinforce or create intention, yeah? And we want to recognize something's happening. We need that conscious mind. But for the most part, we're automatic. So it's understanding these automatic systems. So we've got these codes. So there's actually a safety code. There's a human safety code, and it has 7 steps. There's a human attraction code, which has 26 steps. So there's different codes that we run at different times, and we are running them all the time. This isn't something you turn off and on. This is human. So we are running different types of codes at different times, depending on different scenarios. And if we read the codes, we have a much better chance of understanding where that person may be. It's only an assessment, may be at when we're connecting. So, for example, if they're feeling good about us, they might start running attraction code. If we're at home with our partner and they've had a bad day and they're not feeling very good, they might be running a safety coat. So if I go and I touch my partner, when her safety coat's running, she might not respond to me because her safety coat's running. She needs different things, or he needs different things to happen before the nervous system deems it safe. When I used to work with couples, I used to get them to walk towards each other and stop when they felt a barrier. That's the nervous system's way of saying whether you're safe. So it's an invisible barrier. There's an emotional wall that some people have up. Now, that emotional wall, we can read it. We can connect with it. We can feel it. And so if we push ourselves through the nervous system safety code, we're actually going against the code, which means that the nervous system will record that as a threat.